Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So good on my home county of Cuyahoga County there in Cleveland. Evidently, they have indicted this Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman, I guess is his name. I don't spend a lot of time looking at these guys because they're a bunch of hacks. But evidently, they were attempting to do some voter intimidation, a little misinformation. And good on the people there in Cleveland for saying, nope, nah, not going to do it. They face 8 counts of telecommunication fraud and 7 counts of bribery. So, hey, you know, hopefully they'll be very popular in prison. Good for them, and good on the people there in my former home county. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, as the days are ticking by, how do we make sure that our votes get cast and then ultimately counted? That's why I have asked our good friend Justin Hendricks to come talk with us. Justin's a volunteer organizer with the Protect the Results Coalition, and he's also one of the writers for the American Intergenum, a pop-up newsletter focused on the transition period from November 4th to the 20th. Justin, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
So, you know, I'm looking at the things like with these two crackpots, the intimidation that's going on, the voter suppression that's happening, you know, all of these forces trying to keep us from voting, and the president himself saying today, well, you know what, we're not gonna count all the ballots.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extraordinary situation, and it's been going on now for months that he's been saying things like that, been sort of preparing the ground, salting the earth. You know, making certain that those ballots can't bloom in the states that he doesn't want to see them. And you know, if you take what the guy says seriously, he really wants a result on an election night. He wants it all to be over on November 3rd. He expects that he may have some slim advantage on in-person voting in certain states, and that we should call the election based on that, no matter what the actual vote count was. And it seems like that's what the Republican Party's lined up behind him to do.
Yeah, Justin, I'm hoping the vote count is enough that on election night we go, yeah, it's over. I'm hoping it's overwhelming. I'm hoping that we, the people, get out and vote to the point to where there's no question of you know absentee ballots or hanging chads or scanner problems or any of that stuff, that the tally is so overwhelming, there's no questioning it.
Well, you know, the big problem is this go-round, we have something we didn't have back in the days of the hanging chad in 2000. We have smartphones and social media and the ability to launch a propaganda campaign straight out of your pocket. And it looks like Donald Trump and his campaign are recruiting thousands and thousands of poll watchers, volunteers, to spread out around the country on election day. And a lot of folks have focused on the likelihood they may intimidate voters, that the goal is to keep other voters away from the polls or, you know, make them uncomfortable. But they're actually training them to collect media assets, to film and photo and share what they think of as evidence of potential ballot fraud. And it really does look like a sort of coordinated, propaganda campaign. You had Hogan Gidley on MSNBC last week talking about how, you know, if you look in the local markets, there's evidence of voter and ballot fraud. He used this phrase local markets a couple of times talking to Hallie Jackson. It really sounds like they're kind of prepping that, the sort of bottom up, you know, evidence base of the ballot fraud conspiracy that Donald Trump's been pushing for months.
Yeah, I mean, well, here in Pennsylvania, it's not legal to videotape inside the polling place. And I don't know how it is in other states, but, you know, you can tape me all you want outside, inside the polling place. That's not legal. So I guess what happens to them if they do is another question, right?
Yeah, and in fact, in Pennsylvania, I know that there's already been a case of, you know, these kind of Trump poll observers attempting to kind of film things, and they have been, you know, rebuffed and told they're not allowed to do that sort of thing. So I feel like, you know, that's going to be something we'll see play out on election day. And, you know, the Trump campaign's goal is for lots of these little, you know, incidents. And who knows what it'll be. It'll probably be the janitor taking out the trash from the, you know, the school right. that is hosting the election that day. But lots of these little incidents that they can then roll up into a national narrative that will support Donald Trump's bogus claims of voter fraud.
Much like they've done already with the Postal Service. You had a guy in New Jersey, and I forget where the other guy was, who evidently didn't feel like doing his job one day and threw all the mail away. And just a crummy employee who should be fired and nowhere near the Postal Service. It wasn't voter fraud. He had nothing to, it just happened to be some ballots in there.
Yeah.
And those weren't cast. So this is one of those moments where you're trying to claim there's voter fraud and it's hurting you, but actually it's not. It's not helping.
There's a similar example in Sonoma County that, you know, is been pointed out by various experts. A thing called the 2020 Election Integrity Partnership has looked at this example in particular. Another example of the kind of the dumpster ballot situation where it emerges on Facebook. It gets converted into a right-wing media story on The Blaze or, you know, wherever. And then eventually kind of, you know, transmutes itself into more social media and more media coverage. And of course, it takes a couple of days, but the traditional media look at it and quickly debunk the whole idea, find out it wasn't anything at all. But it takes a little while. And I think what the Trump folks are betting on is that in that, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours of uncertainty, they can have at least enough questions that are out there
right.
that it can kind of support their effort.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I hear a lot of people tell me, well, you know, I saw it on Facebook and there was an interview with a woman from Pennsylvania. And I forget. I think it was on 60 Minutes or something where she said she does her research. You know, she's on social media all the time. And I'm going, I don't want to break it to you, but that's not research. That's not actually hard research. That's just things that people have sent you that probably are false that you've then consumed. And, you know, so, you know, walk me through a little bit of how this works, because I have a lot of people who go, no, I saw it on Facebook, so it's got to be true.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I'd actually tell your listeners, Avaaz, which is kind of like the international version of MoveOn. A nonprofit org that's, you know, concerned with democracy issues. They just put out a poll yesterday. They did a pretty big polling exercise across the United States and asked voters about a range of different false claims about voter fraud, false claims about the George Floyd incident, a range of things. And unfortunately, they found large numbers of Americans who were exposed to disinformation on Facebook. And in those numbers of Americans, large percentages, unfortunate percentages of people who believe some of those things to be true. So we know that these lies are propagating very quickly, very easily. And we've talked about it on this show before. You know, this has always been something you've been interested in. And it's a major, major issue. People are not checking the veracity of the information. They're not relying on trusted media sources like yourself or other gatekeepers. They want to do that research themselves, and often that leads them down to some rabbit holes where people are sharing bad information.
Yeah, see, I don't consider myself a media outlet. I look at news and I share my opinion, and I think people need to be thinking about that a lot more. Rush Limbaugh is not news. Talk radio is not news. It's people going, this is what's in the news. Here's my opinion. Here's my take on it. What's yours? I think we need to really start figuring out who the trusted sources are, because I get that all the time. Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh said, so it's got to be true. And you go, you know, it's not. It's his take on it, but it's not actually true.
Yeah. Well, I've never known you to manufacture information, and I think that's something that sets you apart.
I try
you
know, not
from,
to.
From other media organizations that might. So, you know, I do think that's super important. And people should be thinking about that right now. You know, what are the sources of information they're going to trust? We're about to go into an incredible period. You know, the ability for disinformation to flourish, for bad actors, adversaries, even foreign ones to take advantage of this moment. Yeah. You know, the period between Election Day and whenever the race is called, and it may be a while. We know it's going to take a while to count those ballots. There are some states where it's just going to take a while to get through it. And, you know, like we were talking about, maybe it's a landslide. Maybe there's a result in Florida or North Carolina that gives us an early indication of where it's going. but it might not be. It might be a few days. And we need to be patient, and we need to not fall hook, line, and sinker for every false story that's propagated on the
internet. No, you're right. And we need to hold firm to the we want to count the votes. And this is where my fear of Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court puts us back at 2000 again, where we just, well, we don't. And instead of having the Brooks Brother riots, we actually have real riots with the Boogaloo Boys showing up with their guns and the militia showing up in Michigan, fully armed to the teeth. I see this as a really, as you've said, a really dangerous time.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm working on right now, and you mentioned Protect the Results, this is this national coalition of organizations over 150 organizations at this point, over 400 events that are spread out around the country in most of the major cities, lots of small towns and communities. They're prepared in case Donald Trump comes out on election night before the votes are counted and claims victory, or says that the vote count should be shut down, or attempts to, you know, utilize some part of the federal government to interfere in the vote count. If he does any of those things, we're ready to begin mass nonviolent civil demonstrations across the country, because we don't want another one of those Brooks Brothers riot style events that, you know, really shuts down the action and pushes the narrative in a single direction. I think we all hopefully learned something over the last 20 years. We can't just wait and see what's going to happen. We need to be prepared to do exactly what you just said, which is to demand that every vote is counted.
And that's not, I know it used to not be a radical thought,
yeah.
But it kind of, you know, we're kind of in a moment where, you know, there's a good portion of the country that, you know, thinks that is.
Absolutely. I mean, listen to what the Trump administration is arguing in court. You know, we don't think we should have to count these ballots. That's essentially what they're saying. If they don't get in by X date, you know, if the mail is late, if there's a problem, oh, and by the way, yes, we, you know, may have disabled the mail service a bit. We're sorry about that. Oops. But we don't want to count those ballots that arrive. And, you know, look, it's an unprecedented situation. People are voting by mail, by absentee, in enormous numbers because of the pandemic. And that's created a real wild card. It's a real situation for a lot of people. It's hard for people to get to the polls. It's dangerous. So, you know, I like you, I find myself, we keep saying, like, well, what's the message? The message is count every vote. Why do we have to say that? But we do, and we have to say it again and again and again.
Well, I mean, you know, we live in a country where we're governed by the consent of the governed, us. Our government is, you know, because we give them the power through our will. And if the sanctity of the ballot box isn't protected and the will of the people not done by what happens at the ballot box, what do you have left? This is that moment where, you know, Ben Franklin was asked, what do we got? A republic, if we can keep it. This is one of those if we can keep it moments.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, just in doing this organizing for Protect the Results, there are people across this country in towns and cities, big and small, who are thinking about this, and they're being very meticulous. They're thinking about how to, you know, make sure their voices are heard. They're thinking about how to organize safely nonviolent demonstrations. They're thinking about how to potentially do it for days if it's necessary, you know, into the middle part or even the end of November and beyond. You know, if you think about, you mentioned 2000, when did Al Gore concede? Was it December 12th when the thing was finally finished? It's almost impossible to imagine America patiently waiting in 2020 from November the 3rd through December the 12th for a result. So, you know, we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to kind of navigate that period.
Excellent point. Now, let's say there is a decision and it wraps up quickly. I've been saying, you know, the most dangerous time in our country's history is going to be from election day or when it's called until if and when Donald Trump is out of the office. You guys are also working on what the transition is going to look like, because I expect a lot of craziness. And, you know, Bill Clinton's administration was, you know, the claim was they cut all the cords to the computers and they did all kinds of shenanigans. I'm expecting really dangerous, really horribly hateful stuff from this administration on the way out the door. How do we protect ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Graff, actually, the writer, had a piece in Politico on this today, which I would tell folks to take a look at if they get a chance. really about all the dangers of the of this transition period. And there's everything, right? There's the kind of Trump off the hook, lame duck Trump, completely nothing to lose, pardoning every last crook and criminal that he's come across. Who knows, doing what sorts of deals to enrich himself or prepare for his post-election career, whatever that might look like, continuing to rile his base and tell them that the election was illegitimate. Who knows, maybe he'll even start having rallies before the inauguration and the transition's over. And then there are the more basic things. Does he destroy files? Do they start to otherwise kind of interfere in the transition of the government? And those are real concerns. There are lots of experts out there right now thinking through, what are the legal remedies and what are things that can be done.
Yeah. Last line of questioning I've got for you. What's the advice for people who haven't voted yet? Like, I took my ballot to the box. I put it in the drop box. I'm done. But people who haven't voted, what's the marching order? What advice are you giving?
Yeah. I mean, I am personally, I can't tell everybody what to do in their locality. I'd say listen to your local your election officials and take their advice. I'm hearing a lot of folks say if you have the option to, rather than putting your ballot in the mail, to taking it to a secure location, a drop box, that's a good idea. Here in New York, for instance, you can take your ballot to the early polling locations and drop it off there. I'm sure that's the case in various other jurisdictions. And it seems like that's something that gives people a little bit of a sense of security. I know my ballot reached, its destination before Election Day. Yep. But we want to make sure that every vote is counted. So we'll continue to advocate for that.
Good stuff.
And I just tell folks, go to protecttheresults.com if you want to check this out, want to get engaged. There's opportunities.
Right. You beat me to it. Protecttheresults.com. We'll get links out on social media how people can take a look at it. I dropped my ballot in the drop box. The next day I got an email back saying, hey, we got it. You're all good. Which I think is a really good system, and I'm really happy with that. I'm like you, so I'm saying don't put anything in the mail at this point. Don't risk it, especially where I'm at in Pennsylvania, because who knows what our Supreme Court does. But Justin, I appreciate the time and the work that you guys do. Keep up the great stuff.
Rick, thank you.
Good stuff, Justin Hendricks. Make sure, again, you check out the website, protecttheresults.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.